Mike's good. Talk to you one more time.
1, 2, 3.
Oh, we're good. We're good. Awesome. You having a good day so far?
Having a real fun day.
Awesome. Very good. Let me ask you this. You've been at this event many times. Mm-hmm. A couple times as a media member. How's it? Let me fix that real quick.
Most relaxed I've ever been.
I was going to say, you look really like clear-headed and relaxed. What was it like coming to one of these as a coach? What were things you were telling your players? How would you approach an event like this?
You were trying not to get – don't give Bill Boer material, but try to be very informative, be genuine, be honest, have a good personality, and to be truthful in everything you tried to say. You know what I mean? But try not to be the – don't give Bill Boer material.
That's it's always nice, right? Did you feel like most of the events went well in that regard?
Yes, I did.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's good. Let me ask you about the league real quick. I'm gonna try to fix this mic. I don't know. We've been using this thing all day, so maybe it just got a little flimsy right here. There we go.
I think
that's a little better. There we go.
Okay.
Let's talk about the state of the league, because everybody's come through. I've asked the same question. It feels like Miami, sort of like your Florida State teams or some of the Clemson mm-hmm. teams. It's like it's one of you guys, and then who else? Does it feel that way to you with Miami when you look at them?
I think it does because of where Miami's went, and then how they're built on the lines of scrimmage. I think they have an advantage, and I think that's where they that's why I'm anxious to see in a lot of these teams how their fronts, their offensive, defensive line. I always say this. You can have quarterback skill, all that's important, but you got to win the line of scrimmage. And Miami, even though they lost a lot, those guys played a lot, and they understand how they practice. They've developed some guys, and I think that's where everybody else were waiting to see whose line of scrimmage step up because, listen, there's all kind of quarterbacks in this league. There's some really – I don't know if a league in college football has better quarterbacks. There's great receivers. There's good backs. You know, but who can win the line of scrimmage? And I think when you get that, then you'll figure out who the next best teams are.
I was going to ask you, you know, Miami's – it's such an interesting breed. It's such an interesting program to talk about because they still haven't won the ACC and didn't play for it last year, but play for a national championship. And everybody thinks this is an elite program. They built an elite. You know what elite looks like. You've built those teams and programs. Do you see a lot of those boxes checked with Miami in terms of building it right?
I think they do because, again, back to the line of scrimmage. Defensive tackles, defensive ends, offensive linemen. Because you've got, listen, defense and running the ball in the game travels. And there's going to be moments in the game. The quarterbacks, the skills, it's like I always say it's like a golfer. People play golf. Some days you go out and shoot a 72. Why do you shoot an 82 on the same course the next day? Sometimes the ball rims out. Sometimes the wind's blowing. Skill can vary. Running the football, being physical, never varies. You know what I'm saying? It's a constant. And the good teams can do it when you're on the road. And then at the end of games, closing games out, red zone, scoring touchdowns in the red zone, picking up short yardages, being able to be physical. And I think they're building it that way. But now you got Malachi Toney, who's as explosive as anybody. And it's got the receiver from Duke's transfer. I think Mensah is an outstanding quarterback. Fletcher turned into a grown man in the playoffs and ran the football. They're built Moten and those guys inside on defense, linebackers. They're secondary once they got them there and have grown up and play. They're building it the right way.
I feel like one of the hardest things to do for a coach, and you build a successful program in the era before NIL and the portal, and then you went to A&M and you had to navigate the era that we're in right now. Can you even talk about program the same way anymore? I mean, how do we talk about building programs when the teams are so fluid?
Well, here's one I think you can. Now that they're going to make the one transfer rule, I think you're going to start to get that a little bit more. The NIL is going to be important in recruiting. It's going to be more important to the high school player now, where if a lot of guys are not giving it in, I think it's going to filter back there. And the one transfer, I think, is going to limit. And then you still have the ability to go out and plug a hole, you know what I mean, through free agency. So I do think the way if these new rules pass, I think it's going to be a little in between, but it's going to make it a lot easier, more like it used to be.
What are your thoughts on the current contract structure as far as more and more programs leaning into multi-year contracts and incentive-laden contracts? Do you think that's an important element of roster construction going forward?
I do, if they'll hold up in court.
that's a good answer.
I mean, it's crazy. All right, they're supposed to hold up, but the transfer part of it doesn't.
That's a good point.
I mean, it's like coaches. I mean, all right, you're in a contract, but then you have a buyout. If you do leave, you're paying $4 or $5 million. You know what I'm saying? I think from that standpoint of it, how it's structured and where the legalities are in that situation.
Visiting with Jimbo Fisher here on the program. Let me ask you about Clemson because you mentioned the quarterbacks in the league. Mm-hmm. Clemson's got maybe one of the biggest question marks at quarterback.
Yep.
A lot of the rest of the roster, at least I think generally, okay. So how do you evaluate, given the quarterback play of even some of the teams on the schedule and some of the teams in your peer group, how do you evaluate a team that's maybe the biggest question that they have?
Well, I think they've got receivers, like you said. I think the receivers are dynamic. Backs are not known, but are good players. Offensive line, I still have some questions on. And defensive line on them, both of those situations. But when you're quarterback, listen, a guy touches the ball. If you don't know what you're getting every play, he can't be a Forrest Gump player like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. You know what I mean? That makes it really tough, especially as a play caller. Especially as a play caller of how do I structure the game for him or them if you can't get the consistency. So that's a big question.
And when you look at Coach Sweeney and Clemson's quarterback room this year, you've got Vezina, who's been kind of waiting in the crock pot, as he would say, for 3 years. And then you've got Tate Reynolds, this intriguing true freshman. From a coach's lens, I mean, you did it for a long time. Have you ever encountered a situation like that with vet versus a young gun? And how do you balance that as a coach?
Well, I think here's the thing. First of all, who gives you consistency? I mean, the first thing you say, well, you know, like you say, the young guy can make big plays. All right, but can he keep me out of bad situations? You know what I mean? And does this guy, the steady guy, does he make enough big plays? That's the fine line you got to judge. I've had to do that a couple times. That's a very tough decision. And a lot of that, too, is based on the kind of team you have. How good are the players around him, and how well can you run the football, and how well can you play defense? I mean, there's, you know, if it's a thing on defense, we're not going to get many stops. You got to take a chance and play the guy that's going to score the most, give you the most dynamic plays. If it's where I got a good defense, I think we can run the ball, this guy can make better decisions, you know, that's going to allow me. It may not be the fans' point of view, but it allows me to win the most games.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Rely on that defense.
And I think people said sometimes your quarterback decision is not always based on your quarterback, as crazy as that sounds. You know what I mean? And where the people are around you and how to help you.
All right, you've built a reputation of quarterback guru, so I want to ask you. We've talked about Mensah. Is there another quarterback in the league that you look at and you're like, golly, I would love to coach that guy?
JKS.
Really?
God,
he's so
good. I've loved him from day one. I'm going to say I loved him, and a couple of guys, wait, I said, guys, there's qualities about this guy and you watch him. Now, he's got to kick those steps, but he's a guy who really, you know, I think C.J. Bailey is a heck of a player. Mensah, again, like I said, is outstanding. I'm trying to go through the list. The Louisville quarterback hasn't played yet, but he's got a chance. I've heard some really good things about him.
Keenholz.
And, I mean, JKS, but he jumps off the page at me. I'm trying to think who else I'm missing.
Jennings at SMU.
Oh, Jennings at SMU. It doesn't always be the prettiest, but all it does, every ball he throws is accurate. He's a competitor. He wins big games. He plays big games. And if they can get some running game to help him, I like him too. I like his dynamic.
Yeah, that's very – I love that list. And, look, a lot of those guys are on Clemson's schedule.
Yeah, it may be the best – I don't know if there's a league that's got better quarterbacks in the ACC.
I think you're right
about –
particularly, I was going to say, that upper half, man.
I would put up there with anybody.
Oh, yeah. Let me ask you about Chad Morris. He's back.
I like Chad.
You match wits with him many times. What is it like coaching against his brain, the way he wants to call a
Chad,
game?
Chad's going to attack you. Chad's a guy. Back, I mean, now when we first played him, he went to Clemson. I would attack with those daggone receivers too, Sandy and Hopkins and Max and everybody else. But they went to Arkansas. But he's an attacker. You know what I mean? He's going to be spread. He's going to go an up tempo. He's going to make you. He's going to put you on your heels. He's going to try and dictate the tempo of everything that goes on and try to put pressure on you and come at you very. But we'll run the ball a lot more than you think he does. You know what I mean? People get that conception of being tricky, but he'll run the ball and be more physical than you think he does. I think he's a good football coach.
Is there a dark horse team that people aren't talking about enough in your eyes that you're excited to sort of get the buzz about this week?
You know, there's a couple. I mean, SMU's one. I don't think them as a dark horse. I think it's time for them to step up. And they did a couple years ago, but I think they got a chance. NC State, I think, is going to be really interesting.
That's Faxon's team. Faxon loves NC State.
Because I think C.J. Bailey is legit. They got great skill. Now, if they can get some stops on defense – you know, because DJ, I think, he went through a tough year personally. You know what I mean? I think they'll be better. And they've known Dave and they're the defensive guy. And I think the schedule sets up well for them. I think it's a schedule that if you look at it.
Yeah.
And that's the tough thing about college football today. We got 16 and 17 team conferences. And we're playing 8 and 9 conference games. Who's winning the leagues based on who you're playing?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it's not always the best team. You know what I'm saying? And I don't think that's right. I hate to say this. I think every conference team should play 10 games. You should play 10 in your conference, play one Power Four, and then play a 1AA or whatever you're going to play. But if you don't play 10, there's not enough crossover to find out who the damn champion is. You could be a champion almost by default or be the best team and lose one or two. Well, like Miami had a really tough schedule last year. You know what I mean? And then lost it. It wasn't in that tiebreaker or whatever for some reason. and go play for a national championship. I mean, I don't like that part of it, but I think NC State's schedule sets up well. I'd really do, with an experienced quarterback.
Man, we're getting the wrap up. I'd love to follow up on that. We'll have to do it another time. Coach Fisher, thanks for the time.
Great
really
to
appreciate
you guys.
It.
Thank you.
Yes. Absolutely. Thanks very much. Jimbo Fisher joined the program. Kelly Graham is going to wrap up the show. We're going to talk to her when we return for more after this.
If you're online, you've got the Roar at your fingertips. From a beach in Valley to the Rocky Mountains, you don't have to miss a minute. You can catch your favorite show streaming live on the Roar app or at theroarfm.com at any time.
Let me tell you about GSP. Let me tell you about Breeze Airways, a wonderful partner.